two insecure critics must fight for their right to validate their existence.
In this corner, we have a dinosaur. For some reason.
In this corner, we have a voodoo priestess that chose Pokemon Go over voodoo.
To hell. Throughout the centuries, apostles of Leviathan devised ways to travel between our world and theirs.
You open the box. You summon us.
We don't love the harlot. We love the pain she inflicts upon you. Enjoy this.
Give it to me.
These configurations open the doors to the ultimate experiences of pain and pleasure undivided. Take your chance to revel in the delights of Leviathan and feel the unadulterated true nature of hell. These are the Hellbound Laments.
Hey, Doc here. Is it me? Is it anyone here chimes in this podcast? It's bizarre because I've listened to the Throwdown a million bajillion times. And this is the first time I ever heard that intro before. It's almost like beings from another dimension are trying to get through our podcast right now. I don't know. I mean, it's 2020. What could possibly go wrong, right? It's not like paradimensional beings are going to come over and slaughter us all. God. So, without any further ado, back to the Throwdown. Ooh, is it Eevee or Brannix who's going to win? Spoiler alert, the audience wins.
Shh. All right, hello everybody, and welcome to the Throwdown. This is a thing of things and things that I usually have prepared, but I don't today. We don't know who the winner of last challenge was, which was...
I think we do know.
No, I don't think we do. I think it's still up in the air.
Nope. I remember, like, 2 days before we closed it, wasn't there, like, a
in
vote?
In the mythos, in the air there, just beautifully, it's just very ambiguous. So, we'll say it's a tie.
Okay, then we'll just put the crown right there on the ground. It's fine.
Yep, right there. Split between us. If there was a baby, we would split it and be happy with that. You get the butt side, though. No.
Wait. Can we just, like, cut it in half? So if we steal somebody else's baby and cut it in half, we can put it, like, sew it together?
Oh, that's, I guess, a smarter plan. Because I don't want the screaming half either. Anyway, last week was... I forgot what. It was Boogeyman. It was a terrible movie that we watched. And this week is a much better movie.
You suck.
That is, I think, a lot of people's, in a lot of people's wheelhouses and a lot of people's fond memories. One of mine especially. Yes, fond memories. Because this is like the Stand By Me with... monsters, and I think people will understand when I say that, because it has all of your classic 40s monsters all wrapped up together in a 80s montage-y goodness. And of course I'm talking about Monster Squad. You okay there?
So, yeah.
Are you okay with
the name? Full disclaimer.
Yeah, what's up?
I hate this movie.
That's not surprising because you hate all things that bring joy.
That is very true.
Mm-hmm.
I hate children.
Mm-hmm.
I hate one.
I
hate that argument every time I say I hate children. Every freaking time. It's like, I know I was one. I didn't ask to be born. So that's not my fault. That's not on me, man.
You were probably just a hateful, spiteful child anyway. That was actually, probably was. acted like an adult the whole time. You're like, according I do not my mom. Find this amusing.
According to my mother, I used to beat the shit out of my older brother, and he would just sit there and say, that's not nice.
Your poor older brother, although he is getting you back for that by stealing all your bandwidth.
That is very true, guys. That is very true.
Yep. So be nice to your older brothers, or they will steal all your bandwidth. That's the lesson of every 80s movie, including this one. So I love this movie. This is the quintessential growing up monsters kind of movie, besides it, you know. But this is more of the campy feel than the actual hoobajajajaba feel. That was like a monster coming out and eating you. This is much more of a moving your way towards life. And I feel, in some ways, a little bit better about it than it. Let's talk about it. Let's talk about who they are, what they're doing, what the plot is, and whatnot. Fair enough?
Yeah.
It's so good. So we start out with TriStar. And as soon as I see that TriStar little Pegasus, I am like loving it. I am just thrown back into this fit of nostalgia, this nostalgia fit. And I loved it. And I know that's a dumb thing to base a movie on, but who cares? I am. As soon as I saw it, I was excited. And so we begin the movie. Right from the get-go, it sets the tone. Like there's a little bit of a blurb of telling us what's going on. So we're back in, the 1800s. We're in some castle-y castle. Looks kind of like, I don't know, Orlando, Florida type of castle. And there's like a cool opening with this gothic and crypts and
dynamite
monsters. What?
I'm just saying there was dynamite.
There was dynamite. Yes.
A lot of dynamite.
By the way, Stan Winston creatures. So I just want to let that little bell ring. They were amazing. They were fun. Especially the transformations with Dracula. Super fun. Yeah.
Oh, no.
Did you just realize something?
No. But that's one of my points of things I hate.
Stop scream laughing in my ear, because it is good. It is good. Anyway, yes, there's explosions. So we get our good guys of the past, which is Van Helsing, exploding into this castle. And the big bads have this amulet to do big bad things with. The goods have this woman, and she's reading in German to try to save them. And suddenly there's a vortex, very evil dead vortex. They get sucked in. Boom. Present day. And present day is 80s, like 87. And we get to our two mains, Sean and Patrick. I will now be referring to them as the
douchebags.
The main and his friend.
The main douchebag and his friend douchebag.
Well, they're ordinary, and I use that in quotes, ordinary boys. They are little douchebags. Yes. They start out as being pretty douchebaggy. I will admit to that. Because that's the point. Evie/voodoo/. I think I said your name right. Probably.
Suck.
So that's kind of the point. Yes, there is lame phrases of early's 90s. Well, late 80s, early's 90s.
This movie wasn't made in the 90s.
Yeah, but it was the later 80s. Getting into that almost early 90s, where you have
tubular.
Homoing out, you know.
It is so gay-friendly in this movie. It's great. It is, yeah, it's great.
Again, we're looking at a transformation. So we have to start from somewhere. We have to start with them being assholes to get to where we end up, which is different. Now, I think
so
if this...
you.
So says me, yes. And I think if it were made today, there would be a few other changes to where there might have been a gay character in there, but we don't have an openly gay character in there. But I think that would have been an interesting thing. But again, they do change. Anywho.
Allegedly.
We do. They do.
Allegedly.
Just. Okay, so we are introduced to again, going back to that late 80s, we're introduced to Fat Kid, aka Horace.
Aka the Goonies ripoff dude of that one chubby dude who did the dance.
The truffle shuffle.
So yeah. I keep yelling. I'm sorry.
Yeah, I know you do keep yelling, and I'm going to have to go fucking back and like mix it to where it's not you screaming in our ears. So then we're introduced to the bullies. They're bullies to the T, but they do work really well together. I kind of liked that. They play off each other very well. And one of them is like the classic bully that is in every bully movie of that era.
The other one is the closeted gay guy who is actually secretly following the bully around because he's in love with him.
Possibly.
That would be the remake standard.
Okay, so hear me out. Remake standard, this would be interesting and an interesting twist if both of them were gay openly and were both bullies and assholes. And if everybody learned a lesson in the end. Like, and the lesson is don't be an asshole. That would be interesting. But anyway, these bullies work well. It's got that one guy that's always a bully, and I'm sorry, I forget his name. He also wrote, I think, and starred in a movie that I recently watched.
Was it Bully?
No, it wasn't Bully. It was nice. No, it's the one about a house restoration. Anywho, these bullies are bullying it up. They take a candy bar and they smush it with their feet, and they're about to make Horace eat it. And suddenly this cool kid from the 50s comes by.
A greaser.
He is. Rudy is a greaser. He's got the leather jacket. We're introduced to him by like lighting a match from his shoe. He's very 50s cool. And he actually stands up for Horace, which was also kind of cool and unconventional. Anyway, he makes the bullies eat the candy bar. That's pretty gross. So the next scene, we see our main guy wearing a Stephen King role shirt and talking about the Monster Squad and nerd monster stats, which I thought was a really good representation of a nerd in like the 80s. Because that's what we do today. That's what you go onto any like chat. And they're like, oh, Wolfman would totally beat up like Dracula. No way. Dracula would do this. And
sorry, I could totally see my boyfriend doing something like that.
I could totally see Dave doing something like that. Our Dave from maybe Dave and your boyfriend should start a podcast about just monsters beating each other up. But it was great because I'm like, oh, I know so many people like that. So many people. But also too, Stephen King rules as a shirt for a young boy, I thought was pretty on the nose and funny. I laughed. And this is where we get the intro to the scary German guy. And you need to put a pin in that because he does come back.
Yeah.
Yep. Hey, he is awesome.
He is awesome. Yeah, he's just kind of awkwardly and underutilized.
He saves the day.
Sort of, I guess.
He and Rudy and Phoebe.
Is Phoebe the real virgin or the virgin?
No, she's the little girl. Okay. Come out, you chicken shits. I love her. Phoebe the Phoebs. Anyway.
Put a pin in that.
So then we get a scene of these two pilots who are amazing. And I want them to have their own movie because, again, they're playing off each other really well. And they're in a scene for just like 2 seconds, but it's got these two guys with a plane and they have all these weird crates that they're moving from one place to another. That's when we get our intro to Dracula of present time.
Dracula's a douchebag.
Well, yeah, he's the villain. He represents a type of masculinity.
Douchebaggery.
Yes, a dominance. He represents the dominance of crappy masculinity. So anyway, we get a really kind of funny scene of the pilot thinking that he's going to get rid of Dracula by pulling the hatch, the lever that opens up the plane bottom of the plane. And Dracula just kind of floats there like, what up? And then just kind of floats down and turns into a bat. And I wanted to see more of those two pilots. And how do they explain that? Like, yeah. Dracula just took our boxes. They're gonna get fired. I feel bad for that. Anyway, that's when we find out the very cool clubhouse. And I really...
Oh my gosh.
Yeah.
Oh, no, it's not that. I just realized the ending. They probably did get fired, but the army shows up and I was trying to figure out why the fuck the army was there. That's probably why.
You don't think Eugene was like a spy or something? I don't know. I think Eugene was some kind of operative.
You give this movie so much credit.
The clubhouse. Okay, when I used to watch this movie, I was so obsessed with this clubhouse because it is the coolest clubhouse in the world. It is up in a tree, but it's got like different levels to it, and somehow they get a dog in there all the time. And I think it's Eugene's dog, but that was always a thing too, because I couldn't remember like how Eugene was there. That was a little murky to me. You have nothing to say about this clubhouse. This is like a quintessential thing for like kids. You never were a child. You just erupted from the earth, didn't you?
So the clubhouse, Shirley Jackson, when she wrote the book, The Haunting of Hill House, she was so thorough with everything that she did. She actually made blueprints for Hill House. And you can really tell that in the writing and the reading of it, that she had such a clear image in her head of what that house was. So yeah, this clubhouse is a house of some existence. It's there. And stuff is in it, and people are in it sometimes until it blows up for some reason.
It will. Dracula blows it up.
He nobody was fucking in it.
Yeah, Dracula loves dynamite, by the way. He loves dynamite.
We're going to put a pin in that, too.
Okay.
We got
pins all over this fucking place. We're going to pin this baby up.
Oh, pin up. Yeah, let's put a pin in that, too.
Okay. We're going to put pins and pinups. But that's the beauty of it. It doesn't have to make sense. It's a children's mindset, you know? You don't have to see the schematics. You just see monster posters and stuff. And it's like, this is what I want. As an adult, sure, you're like, wow, that's very complicated. Yeah. How did they do that? But his dad's handy.
It's so childlike and innocent, the way that one guy sets up that camera to take nude shots of that guy's sister.
We'll talk about that later, too. And it wasn't a nude shot. I paused it. I paused it when I was a kid.
I judge you.
Judge me all you want. It was there for the pausing. I mean, that's what VCRs were made for.
No, because if you pause a VCR too much, you degrade the quality of film, and then they have those little track line things that you always fuck with.
Oh my gosh, spoken like a true person who never had a child's heart. What did Santa even bring you? Pencils to break in front of classrooms?
That's actually really funny because I always put on my Christmas list bugs. And so I got a shit ton of an Ant's Life or Bug's Life or whatever doll things. And they were the creepiest motherfuckers ever.
Well, why did you ask for bugs?
I don't know. I asked for bugs and dog whistles. And I think I asked for slime one year. I got slime. I got a lot of slime.
Well, slime's popular now. I get that. And plus, you know, Nickelodeon and shit. You know, you want to be slimed once.
Yeah.
And then you are when you're an adult and you're like, ah.
But yeah, so I always got a lot of bugs for Christmas. And yeah.
I'm starting to feel this thing towards you. I think it's sadness.
You're so mean.
It's just not usually what people ask for. Okay, anyway, moving on. So Rudy is hanging out with these guys. We don't know really why in the beginning. Horace just kind of brings him along. That would have been kind of a cute couple too, eventually. Again, I'm not really shipping people, but I guess here I am. Rudy's there. We don't know why. I guess he has nothing better to do. You would think a 50s cool Fonzie type would have other friends to hang out with, but apparently not.
What was the age difference again?
He was, I think, in middle school. I don't know. He was in...
I feel like they said he was in middle school, and that's why he wouldn't want to hang out with them when they were arguing about it, which meant they were in grade school?
Yeah, that seems about right. I'd probably peg him in, like, fourth or fifth grade, and he would be, like, seventh or eighth, maybe. Because he is more sexually interested in things, and they're just like, ugh, what's up with Rudy wanting to see boobs? Then we get the concept that main character's dad is a cop, and he is having marital problems.
Put a pin in that. That's one of my complaints too.
Don't like people with marital problems. Wow. Sorry, people.
I know. Yeah. Everyone who listens to this is married and they have issues, and I hate you all. Come back next week.
But again, we feel sad for her. Remember the bugs. Which is funny because I remember, and I don't remember fuck all, and you'll know that. But I remember us talking in the Bloody Mary's podcast, our first one, and you said you did not like bugs.
Parasitic bugs. There's a difference.
Oh, forgive me. A bug is a bug to me. I'm sorry. I guess I'm racist with bugs.
There's a fucking difference between parasites and bugs.
Well, bugs still bite you. Like a bee will come up and like stab you in the face.
That is true, but a normal bee does not dig into your flesh, live in there, spawn millions of bugs that will slowly eat their way out of you, and then go off into the world to do the same to someone else.
You seem like it's a personal thing. It's not personal, man. You know, they're just trying to live their best life.
That is very true. I just don't feel like being eaten alive.
Okay, we should do a thing, a list of ways that we don't want to die.
That'll be great.
That could be one of yours. So we see the kid, he wants to go to a movie, the main guy, and it's Groundhog Day Part 12, because it's the day that keeps on living. Actually, in this movie, it's basically a shoot 'em up kind of movie. I think there's a line in there that is very, very poignant. I know you're going to disagree with everything I say, but when he's trying to talk his parents into letting him see Groundhog Day Part 12, because obviously it's not a good movie, it's a shitty movie. He's honestly like, I want to go, and he's like, I want to see a stupid movie, and that's legitimate for him. Like, he understands that it's stupid, and I really identified with that.
Really? I identify with the father saying, no, I'm not giving you money to spend it on something you know is stupid.
Oh my gosh, you do hate joy. See, there's joy to it even if it's stupid. The money,
that kid was taking money from his dad, okay? He wasn't going out there mowing lawns or collecting newspapers or whatever people on bicycles do to get his own money, man. He was just stabbing his father in the throat, bleeding him dry, man.
Wow. So he had to put up with his family's crazy, like, passive aggressiveness. He just wanted to get out of there, man. He just wanted to go enjoy a stupid movie, get away from it all for a little bit. He has no means except to ask sometimes for a little bit of money. He doesn't get to see Groundhog Day Part 12, which is sad. And then we get our introduction to the werewolf man. And this, I was thinking about you when I watched this. Back at you, bud. I was thinking about you when I watched this because we get our werewolf who's first not a werewolf. He's a dude. And he goes into the cops, you know, the police thing, and he's like, I'm a werewolf, shoot me, and stuff like that.
And he was saying, put me in a cell. He wasn't saying, shoot me, because you need to kill him with silver bullets, and there's no way anyone's going to have some motherfucking silver bullets. But anyway, we're going to put a pin in the werewolf at some point. Just know that he's a werewolf and he gets shot.
Anyway, I thought it was an interesting thing about consent, because with werewolves, a lot of times in our movies, they're not consenting to it. It's a curse. And I thought that was interesting. It made me think about our consent talk when we were talking about the Reanimator. So I thought that was interesting.
I want that one.
By like a hair. By a sad hair. People felt sad and were like, oh, here's a hair. There you go. You want it. Anywho. I want a house where I can watch a drive-in by my roof.
That'd be so awesome.
I know, right? Oh my gosh. I was really jealous about that scene. I think there was another scene. You know, this kind of parallels that other movie that's a coming of age. That's kind of a little bit of a spooky movie. It's got spooky themes in it. That's for girls. Basically, what they were before as children and who they are now as adults. But again, there was a moment too where one of the characters had lived by a drive-in and they would go out on the roof and sit and watch. Both of these movies, I was like, I want that. That would be great.
Not now and then, is it?
Oh, that's it. Anywho. And that one had kind of spooky things. Also had Janine Garofalo for like another hot second too. But this movie, all our monsters start coming together. The man is shot because he starts freaking out. He's in the back of a ambulance because they think he's dead, but he transforms and busts out, and all of the monsters come together, and it's an homage to the 40s and 50s monsters of the past. We have, let's see, we got Dracula.
Creature from the Black Lagoon, Dracula, the mummy, Frankenstein's monster, and the werewolf,
yeah.
The wolfman.
So we have our five, our big five, our canonical five.
Put a pin in it.
And the last one to come out, you know, they have to resurrect Frankenstein's monster. And Dracula does look like he's about to cry when Frankenstein's monster does come too. I thought that was kind of cute.
Yeah.
All right. I'm going to flip over my notes like an asshole. Here we go. That's a nice little flip there. I don't know why I said don't keep a lit candle in a room. Oh, that's right. She does that for the little girl. So we haven't really talked about Phoebe.
What?
Phoebe is the little sister of the main. And everybody hates her because she's a girl.
And she sucks.
She doesn't suck. She's spunky, man. She's fiery. But she wants to join the Monster Club basically because her brother's in the Monster Club and everybody's in the Monster Club and she doesn't have really any friends. And so she wants to do it.
She's the friendless wonder. And you wonder why she doesn't suck.
Not everybody who doesn't have friends is not cool or whatever.
I know. I have no friends. I'm the coolest.
Ditto. Plus one.
Yay! This we're losers. So sad.
Yep. Pars is like, don't you have friends? And I'm like, nope, the end. After this, our main's mom picks up a book, an old book that she says that she thinks was from Godzilla or something. She can't keep those monsters straight. And it is a book that is Van Helsing's book. So it's got the
German.
The German that needs to be said for them to do the thing.
The thing like Godzilla usually did.
Right, right. Exactly like Godzilla. I remember those so fondly when Godzilla would speak in German and the amulet would glow a different color. Love yep. Those movies.
I liked his mustache before he shaved it.
You know, it was a good look. It was a good look, but I understand he wants a change. Sometimes you gotta just go with the flow. You know, I wasn't too fond of 70s hairy-chested Godzilla. You know, with the tracksuits and stuff. Anyway, so, and then Eugene's just there. And that's why I was like, who is this kid with a Confederate hat? So that's Eugene. He is a small child with a Confederate hat. He just kind of shows up one day. I don't know why. I did laugh when the main character understands now that Dracula is on the way. And how does he know that? Because he got a call from Alucard. And what does he do with that information?
He does an anagram of it, and it takes him a very long time to figure out, oh, wait, maybe just read it backwards, like, in every freaking monster movie ever, because guess what? That's not a new thing. Alucard is not a new thing, and you're supposed to be some big monster fan? Well, guess what, kid? It's time to grow up, you freaking loser. You can't even read back. Anywho, so he thinks that all the monsters are in town because a guy named Alucard called him, and he was listening to his parents have a horrible fight, yeah, he was all sad, and he gets his monster crew together, and they're like, they don't give a fuck, but he yells a lot, and so they have to. And
then they all put their hands together in that classic move, and guess who else puts their hand in, or I should say paw? It's the dog.
Oh my god. My eyes are rolling, guys.
I love it. And then right immediately after, Rudy says, how does that dog get up here? And I laughed. I did. So they have this book. They know that this book is like something scary, spooky, and they don't know anybody who can translate it except for one.
Creepy German man. Dun, dun, dun.
Dun, dun, dun. So they go
to his house, yeah. And he holds a knife at them, and I think he cooks the dog, maybe.
He does not cook the dog. The dog is there later.
Fine.
It's like anyway. A cherry pie.
Okay, guys. Breaking news that we had to add this in post-mortem. You see, Toshio, bitch boy, he was actually in the pie the whole time. That's what happened. He got cooked and eaten by all the children. So, who knows where he'll show up next, guys?
Yeah, he likes giving out pies. Put a pin in that.
Why is there a pin in a pie?
There's a pin in that pie. And we're going to come back to it.
Fucking everything.
Yeah. Okay, guys. Like, seriously? Like, if you read all my complaints about this movie, it is just so nitpicky as hell. It's like a bunch of little things all grow together, and it makes me want to punch this movie in the face.
Like, she kept just sending me shit, and I'm just like, what does this mean? It sounded like a maniac's ravings. I did not understand half of it. I'm like, are you drunk? What is going on?
I also sent them some pictures, so that way, this way, they know.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, like, this picture with this face, or this picture with how did the guy crawl out.
Oh yeah, you did.
I did. I was nice to you. They still have no idea what that is.
Yeah, no, it was, well, because he was in limbo. Again, you can just suspend your disbelief. You watch horror movies on the fucking regular, and you're not gonna suspend your disbelief for this?
No.
Really?
No.
Really?
I do not like this movie.
Apparently not. Anywho. Scary German guy. This is like one of my favorite scenes. Because this is like one of the turning points for the movie. And for the general theme of the movie. Because we understand finally that scary German guy is not scary. He's a nice man who likes to serve pie. And the boys, again, in their naive stupidity, are all like, you're not really scary, you know? And he's like, oh, thanks. Great. Cool. There's a part when they're about to leave, and they're like, well, thanks. You know, you really know about your monsters. And he's like,
dun, dun, dun. He was in a German Nazi camp. Move on.
Fuck you.
I am very sorry.
We'll come back to that. I put a big, fat, juicy pin in that, moist pin into that little moment. So during this time, this is when Phoebe, finds Frank, or actually Frank finds her. She doesn't run away, but she in fact befriends him. When she goes to show the guys her friend, like at first she's like, come and see him. And they're like, fuck off, Phoebe. And she's like, no, you really should come see this. So they come down. As soon as they see him, they run. It's super funny because she's super brave because she's like, don't be chicken shit.
That's homage to the original Frankenstein movie.
Yes, it was.
It made me so sad that she wasn't murdered.
No, because he's a nice guy. And that's the thing too, is she's tough. She's tough and she's smart. Oh my gosh, you hate women. So she has befriended him because she is alone, because she's a loner, because she's an outcast. And so is he. So they become friends. And because of that, they invite him up into their secret lair. While they're there, they're like, whoa, this is so cool. He accidentally takes a photo that was positioned at the other friend's sister's window. And I know you're going to want to talk about that. He accidentally takes a photo. And then they're like, oh my God, you got to check this out. And they show him a mask of Frankenstein's monster, but like a commercialized mask that kind of looks like his. And that's when he realizes that he is supposed to be a monster. They then realize that what they had done hurt him. You know, their stupidness to express their interest and their passion and things like that had real ramifications.
I think I was taking cat pictures during that scene because I honestly don't remember it.
Oh, really? That's a shame. That's a shame. Your cat was more into it. And by the way, her cat is on my side. Just wanted to say that. I think your bird's probably on my side too.
And that's okay because they don't vote.
My bird's going to bed, so shut up. Go
ahead. Okay. Well, your bird can go to bed, but they're still on my side.
Go ahead. I will pay you to be on my side, okay?
God damn it. You can't pay with love. Wait, no, you pay with love. You can't pay with non-love. Anywho's.
I'm reading what I wrote you, and I realize that it is.
There's so much.
Dracula is lame, self-righteous douche, and totally not rapey at all, like werewolf's makeup. I don't know what that means.
I know, like, there's so many, like, run-on sentences. There's so many eye rolls. There's 3 eye rolls. Like, they just go on and on. I was just like, what is going on? So anyway, all right, we'll fast forward. So they need a virgin to say this German, because it's going to be the 100-year anniversary of this, basically this gem amulet thing when everything collides and yada, yada, yada. So if Dracula gets it, the world is evil. If they manage to suck up Dracula in that tornado thing, then the world is saved. But they have to find a virgin to say this German stuff. So Sidekick, his sister, has been taking German. So they go and they ask her very suavely if she's dorked.
Dorked. Oh, yeah, that's right. Oh, by the way, this is the older sister. Like, did we already mention that? That he has no, we two didn't. Sisters. That
no, there's no, no, two no, no, little... no, no. There's, yeah, sorry, we didn't. This is an older sister of the Sidekick friend. And she's very buxom blondie. She's like, you guys are perverts and this and that. And they have a blackmail photo to blackmail her with to say if she's a virgin or not.
Yeah, know? Don't worry. The kids aren't assholes anymore. It's fine.
It's saving the world, man.
They're fucking virgins.
It needs to be a female.
Where did it say that?
It does. It needs to be a female.
Where did it say that?
It obviously said that because it needs to be a female.
Okay.
That was the major point. Now,
I didn't pay any attention, but okay, I'll take your word for it because I wasn't paying enough attention to the movie to care.
Obviously it does, or else they would all be able to be like, oh, I can say that. Anyway, so they go and first.
Wait a second. What? They ask the old German dude, aren't you a virgin? Can't you read it? That means it didn't have to be a female.
He's not a virgin.
Well, no shit, he's not a virgin. But they suggested it, meaning that it wasn't moved down to just female.
I don't think so. I don't think so. I think it has to be a female because it is the strong thing of, because there's always a female in the narrative. I think it has to be a female.
I think.
Well, and maybe they said it because they're dumb. Again, these are like 10-year-old boys.
Yeah, they don't know what virgins are.
You are giving, yeah, they don't.
Let's put a pin in that.
Part of that's the point. Thing I argue. Rudy knows, but they kind of don't. They're still in their ick girls, ick others, ick gross people that are different from me. So they go to Dracula's lair to try to get the amulet, and Wolfman's there. So they have to try to fight him. Frankie, Frankenstein's monster, comes, but he is taken out very quickly. And so, oh no, Wolfman's there. What do they do? Of course, they kick him in the nards. And Wolfman's got nards.
I don't even get why that's funny.
It's funny.
Why? It's stupid.
It's funny because it's taking this huge mythic creature and bringing it down to such a level that
why wouldn't the Wolfman have a dick?
Yeah, the Wolfman would have had a dick. You're right. Hey, dude, the creature of the Black Lagoon probably had a dick too. It was probably like Shape of Watering, you know, inside somehow. I don't know. Yeah. Dracula might have had a dick. They probably all had dicks.
Oh my God.
They probably all had nards.
Okay, fine. You can say that I never had a childhood, but guess what?
Okay.
Guess what? You okay, never well. Grew up. You never grew up. You're an 80-year-old dinosaur and you still haven't grown up.
I have such joy in my heart. Such joy in my heart. Well, and that's the we'll put a pin in the nards. In a way, you're right, because I could not go through Big Brown with John Combo talking about a giant beaver sunning itself. In a way, you're right. It is. Anyway, monsters hate religious stuff is what we find out. Or at least that's what the boys say. So they're gonna do this whole big showdown in a church. But when they go, they're on their way to the church, the mummy strikes. And again, like, I don't think I said this yet, but I'm gonna say this. Rudy does like 80% of the work. for everything. So he also takes care of the mummy by wrapping its bandage.
The mummy died like a bitch. Let's just leave it at that.
Fine. Fair enough.
Give it some dignity.
Okay, fine. Fair enough. I thought it was clever, but whatever.
We'll put a pin in that then.
It's so funny how much I enjoyed this movie and how much you hated this movie, because I love this movie. Anyway, the only thing I didn't like about that scene is that Rudy called him Band-Aid Breath, and I thought that was a little bit too childish for him. I don't know what I would have said.
There are some lame one-liners in here. That's another one of my complaints. There really are a couple lame.
There are. And honestly, I would have preferred it more from the littler children, because they're the ones that are watching He-Man. And that's where Band-Aid Breath kind of comes from. But not Rudy. I mean, Rudy fucking lights his cigarette from his shoe, you know? I want him to be a little bit harder. Unfortunately, the cop figures out kind of what's going on, goes home, and Dracula loves dynamite. So he blows up the clubhouse. No, not the clubhouse.
Just put a pin in it.
Okay, we'll put a pin in it. God damn it. Oh my God, we're never going to get through this.
We aren't.
We are not. And I'm not doing any more fucking two or three parters. I swear to God, people. Jesus Christ. I'm done. Cars and Phoenix and everybody. Jesus Christ. I talked like 4 hours. 4 hours about ticked off teas. 4 hours. Anyway.
Joy in your heart.
Joy in my heart. No, it was fun. It was a fun time. It was just like, oh my God, I gotta edit all that. Oh my God. As we're talking. Oh my God. Anyway, the black cop dies. I didn't like that. I was sad about that. Because I liked his partner. I liked them together.
They did work together. And honestly, I thought it was a really awkward death.
It was.
It was just like, well, it's the climax and we gotta get rid of people.
Bye. Yeah. And the stakes were weird. I mean, like, you can have stakes, but it just his death was awkward. It was awkwardly timed. I just didn't like it. Anywho, let me flip over my page like an asshole.
Nope, that's the wrong side.
You may just keep flipping like an asshole. Oh, we forgot about the best montage ever, but that's okay. That's the part of my notes.
That the Frankenstein gets a makeover?
Yeah. Yeah. Okay, so.
I would like that.
I did. I enjoyed every second. It was beautiful. Back into you. Okay, I can't sing it because we don't have the rights to the song, but it is a great montage and you cannot find it on iTunes. Again, Rudy does 90% of the work by killing the brides of Dracula, who come to be dicks. And Wolfman is there again, and poor Wolfman's crotch, because the dad puts dynamite in basically his crotch and he goes boom. But nope, Wolfman is still good because it is not a silver bullet. So major shit's going down. Just, there's all this stuff going on. It's really good though. I'm just trying to push this along. So we get to reading this. The girl, the older sister, she reads it. She's reading the German. Scary older German guy is there to help her read it because her German sucks. She reads it all. She's like, I did it.
Bobby doesn't count.
And nothing happens. And they're like, what the hell happened? And she says, they're like, aren't you a virgin? And she's like, Steve doesn't count.
Oh, Steve doesn't count.
Yeah, that's why I put it in the messages. I'm like, Steve doesn't count.
Oh, yeah, that's right. I can't even remember the name. I just remember the you, me, and Steve.
Yeah, well, Steve doesn't count, but he did. Boy, did he. So I have a lot of... So basically, Eugene says... He talks that scary German guy and he says, isn't she a virgin? And he's talking about Phoebe. And she is. Thankfully.
Allegedly. Make this movie get dark.
Real awkward and real sad. So scary German guy helps Phoebe. And Phoebe stands up to Dracula right in the face as Dracula is like coming at her and killing people along the way to get to her.
You little bitch.
Yeah. And
I'll put a pin in that scene because I really hated that one too.
Yeah, he grabs her by the face and calls her a little bitch. But guess, what saves her? Her friendship. Her friendship saves her.
Oh,
and
God.
And Frank switches sides against his master. Because, again, they bonded thanks to feminism. It saves the day.
All that dressing in that feminism comment now.
All that dressing up like a girl. No. But he was able to express himself as a person with the benefit of a friend. And so, feeling comfortable with himself, he was able to stand up against toxic masculinity in the form of Dracula. So she is able to finish the incantation. So from there, the whirlpool happens. What comes
out? Helsing magics out of the whirlpool, even vortex, even though it's eating everything from streetlights to cop cars to corpses, which, by the way, that means there's a million of people out there who will never get their husband's corpses back, so they'll just have to be labeled as missing persons, forcing them to go through a 10-12 years until they can be officially declared dead of pain and torment and hope, false hope, that they will be back someday.
The lives of the many outweigh the lives of the couple that are laying on the ground.
Oh.
I think that's what Spock said.
I have something horrible in my brain that I was going to say, but it's like, no, that's a horrible idea. So you're lucky.
Okay, cool. Save all that for pain. Yes, we're talking shit. He's been talking shit constantly. So,
I know. He gets on the internet and then all of a sudden every single person that's on here, he's like talking shit to in one swell swoop.
Yeah, and then it calms down because then he does whatever garbage life he does. And then he gets kicked up again. By the way, he'll probably come on this podcast at some point, and I'll probably have to edit out everything he says.
Yes, Box and I will be beating the shit out of him.
Yep.
And we'll just be editing in him crying like a little bitch.
Yep.
That's all we can do.
Yeah, it's going to be really weird. We're actually going to team up on the same side for once, and probably, hopefully, the only time in our lives. I don't know. It might be good.
It would be
nice to hear him cry a little bit. I won't comfort him. But anyway, so Frank is getting sucked up into the whirlpool and
steals her rabbit.
He does not steal. She gives it to him.
She drops it and he grabs it and then he just goes away.
He throws it to him.
It's a vortex. It's eating everything.
She throws it to him because then that symbolizes the end of her childhood, growing up and saying goodbye. Anyway, so Van Helsing gives a thumbs up. Kind of like Chuck Norris at the end of Dodgeball. And everything's sucked in. And then right after that, the army comes because they got a letter from Eugene. Because earlier he said, please send army guys. So then their final scene, they come and they're like, what's going on? And they're like, there were monsters. They got taken care of. And the army says, well, who are you? And everybody's there. German guy, the boobalicious sister, the little sister, everybody. Main character says, we're the monster squad. And
oh my god, eye roll, please.
And that's showing that they have grown up. And that is the credits.
It's a really
awkward rap song.
Yeah. But I don't understand how that shows that they're growing up, because as far as I'm concerned, it just means they have now super duper inflated egos because monsters are real and they fought them off. Woo frickin' do.
Because they've grown up because now they see the whole village as part of the squad. It's no longer elitist. It's just us, certain ones. It's not a special test that people have to do. It's... Everybody
they were
is
not
included.
Including freaking everybody.
Yes,
in
they were.
That.
Yes, everybody. Work. Everybody in the shot. It was, and everybody looked proud and brave of what they did. The sister with the boobs. Everybody, and even the little kid looked back to see everybody there, and looked back at the general and said, "We're the monster squad. We are.
They were looking at the death and destruction around them, and they're just like,
"You're grasping at straws."
I'm really not. There is nothing to show that they were. It doesn't matter. We'll get to that later.
Okay. Okay. The end. Bam. Great movie.
Oh God.
Great movie. All right. So now we get to the point where I'm right and she's wrong.
So let's talk about those special effects and the choreography that you like so much.
Okay, cool.
Cool. Did you notice in the beginning scene when they're fighting in that castle how conveniently everybody moves? It's just like a little too slow to make anything look natural. The whole body work of it was so bad and so stupid. There's certain effects in this movie. They switch between, those are pretty good effects, to that's kind of crap looking. One of them being when they're first going into Dracula's castle, like at the beginning prologue. You could tell they're just really fake bats flying around. Like bats on a string.
Yeah, that was an homage. That was an homage to the actual Dracula movie. When it really literally was bats on a fucking string.
Sure. Let's go with that.
Okay.
I hated the Wolfman's makeup, werewolf's makeup, like his face mask thing. That was just stupid looking. His eyes were like this weird bug eye thing the entire freaking time. And what's really awkward was he had a pretty cool transformation scene.
Yeah. Like in the morgue? I mean, the back of the thing?
The telephone booth back of the thing. It was a decent effect for his transformation in both things. And then you see his face.
Okay, are you done? You're gonna keep. You want to keep going?
Well, I can complain about the effects all day, but I'll finish for now.
I'm gonna say this because I feel like this is for a lot of movies. I agree to a certain extent with that, but a lot of movies have that problem. I feel like good werewolf effects are really, really hard to do when it's practical effects, unless it's like that is the only thing that you're doing in the movie. And even then, it can go really wrong really quickly. There's only, I think, a very few number of times when I've watched a werewolf movie where I was like, oh, that's actually pretty good, and not, oh, that's a bad puppet. It's just really hard to do man/wolf in one.
So my issue isn't that the effect wasn't the greatest, it's that there's an inconsistency between the effects throughout. And I'm using werewolf as a example because that was like the most noticeable for me looking at that freaking face all the time.
Okay.
But there's also in the way Dracula in that scene where the airplane falls, and I just also kind of hate how the actor portrayed Dracula like such a douche. Like the way he just stands there with his arms crossed and he has that look that's just like,
this is like in the scope of children, and I think that's
in the scope for children's imaginations, like, okay, but then you're also putting in shit that's obviously not for the children. And it's like very specifically, besides the fact that they're running around for the you know how we usually do a point by point thing? This is probably not going to happen because
there's this is like a conversation.
Yeah. We're sorry. That we can't do it this time. Yep, so let's go back to the point of the buxom blonde sister and her virginity is so they're looking for a virgin. They don't know what a virgin is. Not really.
Most of them. Rudy does. But I don't think Rudy has a lot of experience. I think he just knows what it is.
Yeah. But my whole thing is with the buxom blonde sister is, so basically she's dragged around, forced to do all this stuff when she doesn't want to, and she's freaking out. They blackmail her and force her into this and all that jazz. They like get into her personal business. And then it turns out that she's not. And so basically she's just there to get shamed. She's basically now the butt of a joke. She's basically kind of worthless in this situation. That's a great message for the kids. And the violence, the like calling the little girl a bitch, which, no offense, but she doesn't really do anything to warrant that. It's just like, just freaking kill her, dude. You just killed, like that scene where he's just walking around. That's another thing, okay? Like,
whoa, okay.
I hate this movie so much. I'm bouncing all the freaking around. It's just like free-flowing things for me to complain about. God damn it.
I know. It's kind of like a performance art with you right now. I agree with the buxom blonde. I think it would have been interesting to have a scene with her do something else. I think that would have been interesting. Like in the case of Paranorman, we do have our buxom blonde. It's the sister. For most of the time, she's just obnoxious and annoying. But there is a moment when she's the one that is the, you know, you gotta go out there and do this. And she's the one that kind of shakes them up and puts them together. And maybe if we had a moment of that too, I think, however, I do believe that it is within the male scope, for better or for worse. So
like, she couldn't even do the German right. Like, and I don't mean that as in anything complaining like she was stupid, but it's like the way they portrayed her, she had to just repeat after this old dude, and she gave like these most stupidest of answers. So it's like she's just the butt of a joke, the entire character thing of her. And that's one of the things I just didn't like. Mm-hmm. Like, you can say the little girl was pretty badass or whatever just because she befriended Frankenstein. But at the end of the day, all she did was, she was basically a homage to Frankenstein, to the girl that Frankenstein killed in the movies. Because I don't know if you know this, but he didn't murder her out of spite. He murdered her.
Yeah, I know. I know the story.
Yeah, but he just accidentally killed her because he didn't understand that girls don't float like the flowers do, at least in the movies. I'm just saying this for anyone else's thing. And so they get like a friendship going, and he basically learns stuff from her because he doesn't understand how things go. I don't see him as her friend as much as her pet.
No, I think that they do connect to each other because they are both outsiders in both groups. And I think that that is how they identify with each other. But then it does become, she is the more,
it's just an uneven power balance for friendship, because she basically teaches him how to speak. She plays with him, but it's not like he learned to like things and then she follows through with him. He's just learning everything from hanging out with her.
Yeah, she's exposing him to new things.
Yeah,
and that's
he was alive before. He was not alive, but he was existing consciously before with Dracula. So why the freak doesn't he know things? Like, why is he just now learning to speak?
He speaks slang, guys. He says
bogus. He says bogus.
All the freaking God damn it. Oh, anywho. He's learning to speak. He's learning how to do things. He has, like, critical thought on that. But it's like, why is it just happening now? Like, he says master before to Dracula, and Dracula is very happy to bring him back to life. Actually, Dracula is acting like it's his mission to make a world safe for the monsters and stuff to raise. So really, it's a fight against opposing forces, and war is a theme in this movie. They bring up Nam, they bring up the Nazi war Germany and all that stuff. They bring up how they bring the army at the end. They bring up the monster squad. They bring up how Dracula wants to change the world so monsters can live with it. And it's like, it's a theme that goes nowhere.
What wins? It's friendship and self-efficacy that wins. Through each of them. I do.
What do you say?
I do. All right, so I'm going to go through some of my points.
It'll be more organized that way.
Implode on yourself. My first point is Wolfman's got nards.
God damn it.
Which I found delightful. No, well, I mean, yes, but also no. But again, kind of going back to This whole thing is a love letter. Is a love letter to old monster movies. And as much as it is an old love letter, it is its own unique sense of self. And
don't say unique. Don't say new unique. One of my problems with this movie is how cliched it was. Don't say unique.
I'm going to say whatever I want to goddamn say. It's a special, and I'm trying to think of other unique words that I can say. It is its own. Goonies didn't have 40s monsters. Goonies didn't have that. Anyway. Okay, so Wolfman's got nerds. The whole premise of the movie, the whole scope of it is masculine. It's these boys doing these masculine things. Yes, there's a lot of themes that we've seen before in a lot of male movies, such as Stand By Me, such as The Goonies, such as other fucking movies. You guys know it. There's a lot of movies around this time that were very male friendship focused. You got a problem with that?
Not with the male. I have a problem with you saying that. It's just a movie product of the times when it's very clearly like the character interactions and the way they speak and all this shit is directly very much the same from the Goonies. The way the characters look, the way the characters act, there's an archetype. Well,
yes, there is an archetype. And I think the archetype is ingrained in just beyond it. I mean, like you look at Stranger Things, there's an archetype there, you know, that
I actually see them as characters. I don't see them as some sort of weird cutout.
Well, that's because we've had a little time to now fall into that sense of nostalgia to be able to be like, oh, and plus they have a fucking series that they can delve more deeply into those characters. Yes, these are archetypes. Of course. I mean, this is shorthand to tell us about these characters. This one, I mean, and a lot of movies at the time were like this. However, this one specifically is dealing with the monsters of our past and the monsters of what that means. You know, because the monsters of our past were, in fact, monsters. We have been changing to monsters being more human with Psycho and Onward and things like that. So monster movies of the 40s and 50s were very much actual monsters. They were inhuman. And so it was very interesting to see these inhuman monsters with these children. But at the same point that they were human, they were not these huge iconic, they were these huge iconic things, but they were also human, aka Wolfman got nards. Yes, it was funny, but that was the tone of the movie. I mean, the whole movie was very, very light. You saw that from word go, because in the credits that rolled, it said, you know, here's this thing. Van Helsing tried to stop it and they blew it. You know, very clearly it shows you exactly what kind of movie it's going to be. But using this...
I actually hate that too.
Using this kind of wording, Wolfman's got nards, and it's fun to say.
It's not.
It is. It is. Oh. It's fun to say. It's fun to say. It's Wolfman's got nards. That's funny. That's fun. It's light, it's but stupid. It's also, it is stupid. And that's what makes it fun. And that's what makes it interesting. And that's what makes it kind of taking something that kids are scared of. It's not it. It doesn't scare adults, too. This is obviously for children with a children's scope. To say Wolfman's got nards, it's humanizing them. It's like, wait, they are something that we might be able to face. So Wolfman's got nards. I will say it again and again. I like it. Wolfman's got nards.
How about you say this line? Because they were pretty much one after the other.
Is it the F word? They said F word twice.
No, it's
not the F-U word. Not
when
fuck.
It's when the kids asked, is she a virgin? And the old guy says, perhaps we should go to my place for pie.
Well, that's because he was trying to distract them from talking about virginity. You could tell he was like really awkward about it. Like, let's not talk about this, kids. Why don't we go to eat pie instead?
You see much, so much more in these characters than I do.
I do. It's sad in the opposite direction. I do, because I think part of it is I identified with them. I was scared, but like it was movies like this that were a little bit more my realm when I was younger, because it was a little bit more approachable. I could say Wolfman's got nards and be okay with that. So that's mine. Obviously, we're not doing counterpoints, so I'm just going to continue.
I'll just complain.
I know. You just like... You have so many complaints. You have so much joy. I had a lot of fun. It has the best montage ever. Maybe not ever, but very close. It's very up there. I would say top five. It's got a, it's such a fun song, and it's really fun to watch Rudy in shop class making silver bullets and steaks and everybody else doing fuck all. I just want to say
how that is so unrealistic, because when I try to make a catapult in my wood shop class, I was basically kept getting turned down. Like, they would not let me build one.
Well, you have to do it in secret. Did you not see that? He was, like, making a birdhouse or whatever, and then he would turn his back around and do it. You have to do it in secret. You can't just say, oh, I'm going to make steaks. You have to be like, oh, I'm going to make a shelf, a pointy shelf, really big knitting needles.
Oh, that's not when I was in woodshop class, because my friends and I were learning how to knit and stuff. The woodshop teacher actually pulled me aside and said, if you want to just knit during class, I'll grade it for you, because it's like a craft class, so it'll still count as work.
Score.
No, because I like woodshop. I like woodworking.
Oh, I'd prefer knitting. Too many. As much as I like to get my hands on wood, I like to knit, so I don't know. Be that as that may.
Anyway, murder. We were talking about murder.
We were talking about kids that are played by kids and act like kids.
I hate kids, so maybe if people like dealing with douches, little sociopaths whose brains haven't fully fixed themselves to where they're semi-tolerable.
Yeah, so... These kids are kind of like in the same camp as sometimes, and not as rough as the kids in, like, say, what is it? Not summer camp, sleepaway camp. Those kids were a lot more rougher on the edges. But it was in the, kind of the camp of where, you know, kids will say chicken shit and things like that. And I found that very endearing. And I found, I miss that. I miss seeing kids act kind of bratty, kind of douchebaggy, you know, to learn a lesson. Because a lot of times we see kids on TV and in movies now, and they're very, I mean, they're just there. So it's fun to see them actually interact with each other. And
yeah, like calling people the F word or homo. Or saying that they look like a cat, and I can't believe anyone agreed to marry her. You know, little things that even after they killed a bunch of people for.
You never did anything like that as a child. To fit in or to be as bravado or anything like that.
I don't know if this is just a difference between girls and boys growing up. My boyfriend, he's like, girls are way more cutthroat. And it's kind of true. We don't say anything bad about people. We just make them feel like outsiders. We just ignore their existence and make them slowly hate themselves.
So you just want to mean girls with Dracula?
No, I don't know. I just wanted slightly more likable children or somebody who's a little bit older, like, I don't know, middle school, and then the one guy was a high schooler.
That would be weird too, because I think it worked fine, because again, they're at that cusp, right, of puberty and understanding kind of more of how the world works and how the world is eventually growing apart.
Is that why the freaking divorce the parent, the cop guy who's and the wife, and they're like going to marriage counseling, but they should probably totally get a divorce because they're just so bitchy about each other. But don't worry, monsters are here and they're gonna kill their kids, so let's unite for that. It's just like, it's such a lazy way to save a marriage.
Well, and honestly, we know it's not gonna work. It's a suspension bridge effect. You know, they're in love with each other right now. Just like we saw with Holly Gennaro and John McClane. After the first movie, I think they're still together on the second movie. Third movie, they're not together. After a while, it just doesn't work out. I forgot what I was going to say about kids.
That's your counterpoint to that, is that in the sequel, they did a divorce.
We yeah. just have to worry about that in the sequel.
Well, yeah. I mean, it's pretty apparent they're not healthy together. You know, she needs something more, obviously, and he cannot provide that. So, and the son is a lot more like his dad. He's kind of distant. But I think in the end, he realizes that he does need people. And I think that's the difference between he and his dad, because he realizes that it is a squad that takes care of monsters, not just one person. I read into this a lot more than you did. going again to my third point of kids acting like kids, yes, they were dickheads in the beginning, and they said mean things, and
is that there's no proof that they aren't dickheads at the end. The only difference is they don't have an environment in which to show their dickheadedness.
No, I don't think they're dickheads in the end. I don't. I think they're more inclusive. Okay, so I'm gonna go to my two last points, which is kind of one point, and that the movie has two major themes of growing up, which is basically facing your fears and achieving self-efficacy and identity, and losing the naivete of non-consequence of your words and actions, and becoming more accepting and a whole person. This was all in Monster Squad. Totally. it totally was. All right, let me find my notes that lead me to these conclusions.
Before you do that, I just want to mention the ripoff from Boogeyman.
Oh, what's that?
The Mummy in the Closet. That was a total ripoff from Boogeyman. The only thing was he didn't wear an Argyle sweater vest. And that's probably because it was under all the, you know,
the bandages.
Yeah.
Yeah, it probably was. But he wouldn't have looked very good in it.
Wow.
Yeah. Judgy. I am the one and all beer of fashion. So I wear a shark t-shirt. So this is what I wrote. And this was around that big fat pin of the Holocaust survivor and the children being completely innocent, basically, of what that meant and what that is and who he was. The boys didn't understand their consequences except for... Wait, I gotta read this because that doesn't make any sense. Just because I wrote it doesn't mean that I can read it, okay?
So while they're busy doing that, you and I, audience, are going to talk. We're going to talk.
All right, so, I'll let you talk for a second.
Yes, it's not that the naivety of youth, that they didn't realize all this stuff. It's that they're self-absorbed assholes, and they're too stupid for school. They do monster drawings all during class, so they just don't know what these things are because they suck.
Okay, you done? I think you're done. Okay, yeah, so the boys don't understand, and they never really understood the consequences of that, except for in some of the situations. I don't know what it means, irritation, repulsion of the female as the other. Oh, they understood that when Phoebe befriends Frank, and that saves them. And it's not a good thing, but it's relatable. You know, in our youth, I'm sure a lot of us have said the R word in a way. I know back in the day I did.
Oh, okay.
I know back in the day I did, because that was popular. Or in our youth said, that's gay, or whatever. And this movie makes it clear some of the examples that we see today. As adults, we should understand that this is our worlds and experiences as we grow. As children, we don't know that. They don't understand until they feel that impact, say with Frank's mask, and they give it to him. Again, not even realizing what they're doing, what they're saying, how he's going to experience it. They give him a mask of his own face that is a terrifying face. And they're like, look, it's you. It's you. He looks at it and immediately realizes that he is something that is to be frightened by in their culture. And immediately, that's when they start to recognize and realize that our actions, our words do have consequence. Again, that kind of just starts to play out. And I think that's like one of the bigger issues. It is kind of quieter sometimes, but it does start to grow. And then when it comes to growing up and stuff like that, we get that from a couple different scenes. We have first Horace have his scene where...
The shotgun?
Yep, shotgun scene. He tries to get inside a building and there's the two bullies and they won't let him in because they're too afraid. And so instead he takes a shotgun and...
the shotgun he had the entire time he was banging on the door, just saying.
He was afraid, and it's rolling fine to eyes. Be afraid. He is a child. And the creature from the Black Lagoon is coming up, and he shoots it and realizes that his actions do create a consequence. In this time, good. He becomes more, he has more self-efficacy after that.
And after then the bullies come out, say, "Hey, fat kid." And then he pumps the shotgun and says, "My name's not Fat Kid, it's Horace." Mm-hmm. And in that scene, I took that as a threat against the bullies that I can now am proven to have power over you. I can now kill you.
He was saying, "I do have power." It doesn't say that it's really at them because he didn't point it at
anything.
It didn't point it at them. It didn't do that, but it did show.
He also didn't do anything with the gun. He didn't go and help anyone else or aim at anything else. He was just like, he just pumped it, stared at them, and it's like, "My name's Horace," and that looked and acted like a threat.
It wasn't a threat. It was a motion of self-efficacy. "My name is Horace. You would call me by such." I'm gonna just keep flipping like an asshole. No, I had four on that too. I'm just gonna rustle my notes like crazy.
Guys, we're reading this movie totally differently.
We are totally differently. Garlic pizza. Just reading my notes.
But read my notes too.
Your notes are all crazy. Your notes are bonkers.
I hate kids so goddamn much, yo. Even the father tells the dude, "Just shut the fuck up." Bleh, Goonies rip off. With the respect, play two monsters are the same as Skydeco versus Skydeco. We know these monsters show up, a fight no one cares about ensues. Y'all watch Abbott Costello.
I can't even understand you now. Oh, y'all watch Abbott and Costello.
Why is Dracula the master bitch in this? Also, rips off Boogeyman. German guy obviously memorized the script. Literally all the kids are virgins, but it falls to the girl. Frankenstein talks.
Very childlike.
If only he wasn't alive before. Dracula is so lame, so precious douche, and totally not rapey at all. Like Wolfman's makeup.
Wolfman's makeup was rapey? Sandwich assault? I see sandwich assault. Why are the children murdered in this? Sandwich assault. That's the alternative title for this movie. We should go for My Place for Pie. So yes, it's about, and we also see this from Phoebe when she's faced up against Dracula, and again when she loses Frank, her only friend, again giving him her stuffed animal to cement the bond between them, but also symbolizing the end of her childhood and growing up and saying goodbye.
Can I just ask one question about the limbo thing?
Yeah. Is this so, like, limbo, isn't that basically wandering around forever in an endless fog, knowing no joy, no sorrow, no nothing, just emptiness?
We don't know exactly what it is. He just says limbo. We don't know what specifically that means, though. I mean, that could have just been a German translation of it. I mean,
really, they went to Disneyland?
Yeah, probably. I mean, look at the castle. It probably was Disneyland. And then in the end, like I said, they are all there. The army arrives and he says, "We're the monster squad," meaning all of them, because he has now accepted Phoebe, his sister. He has accepted that different people, scary people, like German guy, is maybe not as scary, opening up his world and opening up his heart to others. The end. Roll credits, terrible rap song. All right, you have like 2 minutes to complain. I've already complained so much.
I really have. I'm sorry. Oh man, what can I complain over? Let's complain over the Brides of Dracula. Oh, that was probably the Dracula being rapey thing. I was complaining about was his closet full of high school girls that he turned into his brides.
They looked like college girls to me. Okay. They looked of age. I mean, of young age, sure. But they were college girls. I don't know how he got them. I'm sure he did the Dracula stare. You know, the vampires got that stare.
Okay, let's go. we're gonna move away from that real quick and go back to my whole issue with Dracula. Okay. He is the worst vampire ever, okay? What does he fucking do during that one fight scene? He, like, bitch slaps cops to the floor. He breaks their necks. He just keeps walking in a straight line. He doesn't do any mojo. He's a fucking bat. He can turn into a bat. Does he do anything? No. He uses dynamite to blow up the treehouse.
Like, he likes it. That was a choice. He likes choice. Dynamite.
He chose to blow up people and things and whatever. And if you're a goddamn monster, you're supposed to have magical powers. You're supposed to be able to control people and do this and be threatening. What do? You just walk around. You're not doing anything magical. You're not doing anything special. You're doing anything any asshole down the block can do.
I'm going to highly, highly contest this because I've seen the one thing he do that you have not seen, which is Vampire Boys 2, The New Brood. Once you see that, then you come back to me and you tell me he's the worst vampire because you will not be able to. All right, continue.
We'll just get off the fact that Dracula's a total bitch and he just gets slapped down like a bitch all the time. That he's stupid, that he can't do any sort of planning right, yet every monster flocks to him like he's some sort of a little awesome person. The Brides of Dracula, they just walked in a straight line when that one Rudy kid.
Yeah, that was an homage. That's what they used to do.
Walk in a straight line and just be all like...
Yes! Have you not seen the old movies with the Brides of Dracula? That's what they did.
I've seen some of them. And they were, like, slightly smarter. I'm just saying.
No, okay. I think you and I are going to have to dive deep into vampire movies because I can name 3 vampires that are way shittier than this vampire off the top of my head right now. One of them is Mexican.
Whoa.
Actually, 2 of them are Mexican. Oh, no.
Whoa.
Sorry, Mexican vampires. I apologize. All of my thoughts are my own. But one of them is an MST3K Samson versus the vampire women. And they are shitty vampires. I'm trying to remember the title of the second one, but I will send you some gifts because he gets knocked down continuously. And then Vampire Boys 2. The New Brood.
Oh, yeah. Also, the way Rudy killed the brides, I just thought it was really stupid.
It was pretty brutal.
It was him killing them, but at the same time, the way he was, I don't know, just the way that the scenes played out, it didn't connect with me in any way, shape, or form. Like, the German guy obviously memorized the script. I actually know what that means. When he's reading German from the journal, he actually puts down the book and is staring at the kids and reciting this entire freaking German passage. And it's not like simple words like, and my mother went to Taco Bell and bought me a burrito. It's just the prophecy thingy as to what to banish Dracula and friends away. These little bits and moments that are very unnatural in the movie, it just takes me out of it all the freaking time.
So you're upset because some guy memorized some of the things?
God damn it. It's not just that. It's also like at the beginning scene where they go into Dracula's castle, the way that people react when things blow up or move out of the way, it's like they obviously
It's stagey. It's super stagey,
except nobody has the charisma to actually pull it off, to actually distract me from that and make me suspend my disbelief, okay? And so all I can do is sit there and like take cat pictures of my cat watching the movie or nitpick about stupid shit that's happening.
You and I have so, so differing opinions about this movie. Because hey, man. I was enraptured within the whole movie because I ate it up. I ate it up with a spoon. German's like, more pie. And I'm like, yes, okay, please.
I watched The Last Drive-In where they were playing Dead Heat the other day.
Oh, Dead Heat. That's fun.
I know. It was a great movie. I love that movie. It was so stupid. It was awesome. I actually like that movie. I could get into it. Everyone was giving such a performance. There was more talent than that movie deserved.
Well, and maybe Maybe in a way you're right. Maybe I'm looking at this from a nostalgic glasses because I did grow up with this. This and Ernest Scared Stupid.
I actually watched that one.
And Hocus Pocus.
I watched that one too. So some of these movies I did watch and I did enjoy. Then that's all through my childhood. This movie was not one of them.
Did you just not associate with it because it was from a male perspective or a male story?
That probably is part of it. Another part of it might be like there is a lot of homage to the movies, but they don't actually do anything with the characters. It's just the characters have shown up and they're there to be bad guys. The original movies, the monster movies, the monsters themselves all had a certain personality. Either you felt threatened by them or you pitied them or understood where they were coming from. The most we got out of that would probably be the Wolfman.
Because of his duality of being a human and being a wolf.
Yeah, because when he died, who killed him? Was it Rudy?
It was Rudy. Rudy did 90% of everything.
Okay.
Everything. Everything. And as he said, well, I'm a member of the goddamn club, aren't I?
I know, right?
Everything.
Rudy is basically justified in killing the Wolfman because the Wolfman turns human at the end and then thanks him for it. So he's let off the hook for any sort of responsibility or emotional burden that would come from that. Because everything else he kills is very much not humanized. Like Frankenstein, he's humanized, but Rudy doesn't kill him. Nobody really kills him, especially since, you know, Van Helsing's forever alive in limbo, I guess. But he kills the brides. They don't revert back into scared college girls. He kills the mummy. The mummy is just a dead skeleton on the road.
Well, I think that goes back to, well, and then the creature of the Black Lagoon gets shot.
Yeah, the Shape of Water, dude.
Yeah. The sexier one? I think but that goes back to kind of what I was saying with my point with the 40s and 50s monsters that was what they were supposed to be, monsters. They weren't supposed to be people. And so
But I didn't feel threatened by the monsters either. Freaking Dracula, if he actually put his mind to it, he could have killed them all. And it's very weird that they didn't die. Like, he blew up their fucking treehouse, but that didn't accomplish anything except blowing up their fucking treehouse. He didn't kill the parents, which he very much could have. He was just like, I'm gonna kill your son, fuck you. And but, you know, he went away and didn't do shit except blow something up.
You're
which
screaming
makes
at me.
I am so sorry.
Stop screaming at me.
I will move this farther away. But I do not like this movie. Okay.
So, take a breath. I wish I could kind of see your face so I could just see how much hatred you have on it. And you can see mine to see how much joy that brings me.
I hate you. So there was a scene where that one weird kid, they're in the swamp and the creature from the Black Lagoon is in there and he gets out of the water. And so the kid goes and taps the brother or whatever on the shoulder and is like, hey, there's a monster. And they turn around and it's not there. What is it doing with its life? Why? There's so many scenes where basically the kids are at a disadvantage and they should just die. Or lose or something. But it doesn't happen. And it makes no sense why it's not happening, except it's a children's movie and the children get to win.
Well, it's about growing up and becoming more of a whole human being.
Yeah, like all those cops that were in this, like, straight, that kept running in front of Dracula at the end. They all died. I'm sure they weren't grown up yet.
It's all a metaphor. Anyway, we gotta wrap this up.
We do. We can't listen to me yell.
All right. Bottom line, I enjoyed this movie. So let us know who you think won, which is obviously me, because this is such a deep movie. It needs to be examined over and over. But let us know via Twitter. Probably our boss will put on some kind of hashtaggy thing. I forgot what yours was. And mine was like box of dicks.
Yeah.
And I forget how we got to that, but there we are. That's where we landed. So do you have anything that you'd like to plug? Besides you sniffling constantly.
I am so sorry.
You're allergic to this movie.
I am. It's allergy season, y'all. You can join my Twitter, Evangeline_the, right?
Yeah. And it's really fun when you, like, add her, because you can put anything. It could be, like, Evangeline_the stupidest person in the world. And then it's really funny, because then it's a sentence.
Yeah.
That's what I do in my spare time.
I send cat pictures over Twitter. I send cat pictures. I don't know what the fuck I'm doing on there half the time.
And I also send cat pictures. All right, sounds good. I am hopefully this June going to be watching a whole bunch of gay stuff and then talking about it. I hope that you come and join me. And by join me, I mean sit there and listen. Shut up and listen. That's about it. Besides that, I plug, as always, wear your goddamn masks.
Thank you.
Yep, it saves people.
Especially do it now that stuff is opening up, because just because stuff is opening up, that doesn't mean that the virus is away or we have a cure or anything. It just means that we're freaking opening things up.
I mean, I see people all the time without any goddamn mask because they're like, oh, it's a trifle to do. You know what? I don't fucking care. Wear your goddamn mask. I don't want my Nana to die from fucking COVID because you were a big fucking idiot, waste of life. Wear your goddamn mask. They got a lot of cute ones out there. I saw a Sailor Moon one. It was cute. Do it. Or, you know, learn how to do it. I had a friend. She learned how to do it. I mean, I'm not crafty. I'm not going to do it. I'd rather buy one. But go ahead. Go get one. We don't have any. We should. We should make our own haunted MTL masks. But we're not really clever that way. But we are writers. So go to hauntedmtl.com. Look at what we wrote, I guess. Or not. Whatever. It's your prerogative. That's what we got. Check us out. We will be watching a movie next time.
They Live, because we're fighting pain.
Yeah. So, okay. Yeah. But I guess we'll feed the baby. Feed that baby. Pain's been screeching and hollering for a while. So we will watch They Live with Chacha, as I like to call him. The doctor or whatever he calls himself. But we could call him Chach. And so it will be Evie and I against that pain in our ass. Or arse, as some people say. So tune in next time and we will see you then.
Bye.